God is not just incredibly good to us, but I believe he has a word for us on today. And before I begin, I just want to take just a moment and Rockton AG, I want to kind of shout out your pastor just for a minute. Can I do that? Can I do that? I don't know if you know this, but the good right Reverend Dr. Steve Warner is a gift to the kingdom. His hospitality, his love, his generosity, his kindness, his patience, his friendship has meant the world to us. I'm going to share a secret that he wouldn't want me to necessarily tell you, but I'm going to share it anyway. Last time we invited Pastor Steve to minister at our church, it's our custom to present an honorarium to our speaker. So we presented an honorarium to our speaker. Pastor Steve said, "You know what? I really want to be a blessing to someone else who's in need." And so rather than receiving the gift, he gifted the gift. And here's why that's important. It's a picture of the heart of this house. I don't know if y'all's hear me, but I want to make sure y'all's hear me. It's a picture of the heart of this house. I don't know if you know this, but the house of God is called to be a blessing to the community at large. Okay, one person heard that and they said amen. Let me say that again. The house of God is called to be a blessing to the community at large. Amen. And your pastor, the right Reverend Dr. Rogers. I like saying that, Mass, isn't he? You know? He embodies that. He embodies that. And so it's a blessing to call you friend. Amen. Today I want to delve into God's word today, and I'm going to try my best to do this within the allotted time frame. We have the privilege to share a message entitled, "How Do I Take It?" How do I take it? How do I take it? In a lot of ways, this is precisely where I've been the last few months or so, directly, but significantly longer than that, indirectly. To some extent, all of us find ourselves in a comparable state. Yesterday, I had the privilege of being a part of a redirection service for my spiritual mama. Her name is Dr. Alice Brown Collins. Been serving in ministry 30 plus years, and rather than retiring, we had a redirection service. At her redirection service, we honored her, but then we consecrated her and commissioned her to the next assignment. Because even though she's 70 something, I don't know if you know this, in ministry, you don't retire. You don't retire. Shoot. Today we're going to be talking about Joshua. And Joshua delves into ministry in terms of leading the people of Israel at the age of 85 or so. That's when he just gets going. Moses starts ministry at 80. And so I want to make sure we hear this loud and clear. I don't know if there's anyone here who feels like maybe ministry has passed me by. Here's what I want to say to you. I think God is just getting started with you, man. And there's more in store for you. And so it was an honor to be at that service and to celebrate and love on someone who's near and dear to me. But here's what's even more profound. Even being in that space and place, what was clear is that there is still this drive, this umph, this charge to say, how do I take what the Lord has given me charge to take? How do I take it? How do I take it? Friends, do you know it's really easy to be close to the thing that God has given you charge of, charged for. the calling that God has placed upon your heart to fulfill and do, it's really easy to be kind of sort of in line with and close to, but not quite ever fully grabbing a hold of what God has called you to take. Today, before we even get started, I want you to shout this with me from the rooftops. How? Not how. I want you to shout this with me. I gotta take it. Okay. That was weak, y'all. You see, there's someone here. Right. I want y'all to try this one more time. I gotta take it. Amen. That felt a little bit better. They got up to about 3 on the 10 decibel. You know, getting there. We'll have opportunity to shout a little bit more a little bit later. Praise the Lord. This idea of I have to take it is this common concept that we see all throughout Scripture. We certainly see this in Moses' pilgrimage with the people of Israel. They leave out of Egypt. And then after they leave out of Egypt, after 400 plus years of captivity, they're overjoyed. But then they find themselves in the wilderness. And as they're trapped in the wilderness, this idea of this destiny, this idea of this promised land, this place that God has called them to and created them for, still seems to be elusive. 40 years pass in the wilderness, and they're right there on the cusp of the promise, yet they never actually enter. Could you imagine, family, being right on the cusp of purpose and destiny, but yet never actually walking and fulfilling that thing? I don't know about you, but there are dreams and passions embedded in me. And then sometimes when I look, I'm frustrated because I ought to have been where I thought I was supposed to be, yet I'm not quite fully where destiny, purpose, calling, still find it to be a little bit elusive. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you're a super Christian. But I know for me, this idea of destiny and purpose still seems to be something that I'm pressing to grab a hold of. Do I have anyone here who might feel comparable to this fact that there's something that I'm supposed to be walking in, but yet I'm not quite yet there? Amen. I'm happy I'm in the right house or the right space, right? Moses dies after 40 years in the wilderness. The generation that he led out of Egypt dies, never having experienced the promise, on the cusp, but never taking it. On the cusp, but never taking it. Now the vision gets passed on and Joshua enters in with another generation. Think about the implication of that statement. Just for a little bit here. An entire generation misses the promise. An entire generation, I'm talking millions, miss it. And can I tell you today, millions miss it. We're living in a day today where the body of Christ, we number over billions globally, right? Yet how many of us truly are walking in the purposes that God has called us to? The late Dr. Miles Monroe puts it this way. The wealthiest place in the world is not the gold mines of South America or the oil fields of Iraq or Iran. They are not the diamond mines of South Africa or the banks of the world. The wealthiest place on the planet is just down the road. It's the cemetery. There lie buried companies that were never started, inventions that were never made, best-selling books that were never written. Best-selling books that were never written and masterpieces that were never painted. In the cemetery is buried the greatest treasure of untapped potential. Joshua, roughly 85 years old when he commences leadership of the people of Israel, after having served Moses faithfully, and at his installation, he's given instruction, take the land, take it all. So this is precisely what Joshua does. To set up our text today, which is found in Joshua 18, I want to start off firstly by just giving a brief summation. We know the stories. Consecration early on in Joshua 1 and 2 is followed by conquest, then a slip up with the sin of Achan, but repentance, Jericho is in there too, just like we sang the Jericho Road. Jericho's in there, conquest continues. The northern land is captured, the southern land is captured, and then we get to this verse in Joshua 11 verse 23. It reads as follows: So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. The land rested from war. I want to make sure you hear this. We're halfway through the book, and the text says Joshua took all the land, and the land rested. Yet, as we look at the text and the text that follows this, it seems almost like the work has been completed. But on the contrary, as the text continues, what we really see is Joshua and the people of Israel are on the cusp. After the Lord has done so many miraculous things along the journey, there's still yet more to be done. Joshua 13 verse 1 follows and states this: Now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, You are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. So in Joshua 11:23, you done captured it. But in Joshua 13, there's still so much more to take. What's the contradiction here? Doesn't it seem like an apparent contradiction almost? What's going on here? I contend, family, there are times when the Lord gives you a charge. And as you begin with zeal, you begin to experience success, joy. And as you're pressing forward, it almost seems like you've attained it. Yet, how many of you know 70% of the goal isn't all of the goal? How many of you know that walking 65% of the way isn't arriving to your destination? And how many of you know that your call isn't to do a portion of the thing, but it's to do all of the thing? I don't know who I'm speaking to here for a moment, but I'm just going to be honest with you. There are a slew of things that I know the Lord has placed in us here collectively that we've begun. We've been well-intentioned towards. We've started, we've prayed, we've fasted, we've planned, and then life gets in the way. And then rather than fulfilling the charge that the Lord has actually created us for, we say, Oh Lord, you know our hearts. And then rather than taking hold of the promise for which you were created, we actually fall short, stop short, and say, Oh well. Again, maybe I'm not talking to you again, you're super Christian, right? But I'm certainly talking to me. There are things that I'm called to that I've not yet to fulfill and complete yet. there are things that you're called to that you've yet to fulfill and complete yet. Shoot, some of those things are as simple as your neighbor. When Pastor John talked about he's inviting his neighbor, he's inviting the security guard at the bank, who are you inviting to next Sunday? Who has the Lord placed on your heart repeatedly to minister to, yet you always say, next time, I'll get to it. It ain't right yet. And what if that person dies and you still waiting until the right time? And then there's blood on your hands. Because rather than being obedient to what the Lord has given you, you did it halfway, part way. I'm being deliberate here. I really want folks to actually take heed to this idea that God actually expects you to go and take hold of what he's placed upon your heart to take a hold of. I'm being deliberate here because I really think we think that even though we're believers and children of God, we can do following God however we feel comfortable with. I want to be real clear, family. Either Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. And if he's Lord of all, he gives you charge and instruction and directive. And if you're honest, you make excuses. Okay, again, maybe not you. Y'all are super Christians. I know I've made excuses. And it's high time, family, that we press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Because this is the reason he took hold of you in the first place. Now, let's get back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 18 is our text today. And Joshua 18, you remember the backdrop here, right? The people of Israel, the vision given to Moses, the whole generation of Moses misses it. Joshua then comes and is given the charge to continue the vision and go and take the promised land. And as he's given the charge to go and take the promised land, what happens? The people of Israel start off well, and they take it. And as they take it, right, they defeat and conquer all sorts of kings along the way and lands, and they rest. Yet, so much more is left to be taken. They haven't yet fully completed the charge at hand. And then we get to Joshua 18. Now, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, I'm reading starting in verse 1. The whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there. And the land was subdued before them. But there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes. How many tribes does Israel have, y'all? 12 total, right? But there remained 7 tribes, people. Y'all read this. Verse 2, let's finish it. Right? 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. By now, many biblical scholars assess that Joshua is now in his mid to late 90s. So he's been at this 10 years plus, and folks still haven't taken it all, even though God has made a way for them to take it all. Again, I don't know who I'm talking to, but you're on the cusp of promise. You're on the cusp of actually walking in the purposes for which God has made a way for you to walk in. What's required, though, is that you actually walk it out. Right? And then as you walk it out, you actually see the hands of the Lord parting the Red Sea again for you and making a way for you to go grab a hold and take it. God was with the people of Israel. He actually intended to empower them to take it. Yet, of the 12, 7 still remained. And here's what's even crazier. Pastor Steve, 2.5 had taken with Moses prior to. So what that really speaks to is that 10 years had passed, God had made incredible ways for the people of Israel to go forth, yet only really 2 tribes done walked in their inheritance. And it's crazy that the power of God was there, yet the people of God didn't take what was theirs to take. That's 2023, y'all. The power of God is here. Do you know that there are things that the Lord desires to do in you, through you, that would blow you away if you would just attempt to do? The power of God is with you to do it, yet it's about your willingness to walk out and do it. The text continues. Verse number three. Please see verse number three. Joshua 18, verse number three. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, "How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you?" And it's as if here we are in 2023 and God is saying the same thing to us. How long are you going to neglect to go out and possess what it is God has given you? How long are you going to neglect to go out and start the business that God has placed in your heart to start? How long are you going to neglect to go forth and witness to the person who is hurting and is awaiting a word from the Lord directly through you? How long are you going to neglect actually walking in what God has called you to? God delivered. God opened the doors. God made a way. Yet the people of God neglected taking what God gave them charge to take. It's remarkable. It's remarkable that this happens in this way. The Spirit of God is asking us today, how long are we going to neglect? Another piece of this that's so profound to me is that in some ways, when you've been in faith a long time, you've been a part of an established ministry a long time, you sometimes rest upon your laurels. And you say stuff like, man, by God's grace, we did this thing. 10 years ago, we had this incredible, incredible move of God happen that we were a part of. And it's no knock on 10 years ago. But if your last testimony is from 10 years ago, you know what God is saying to you? Why have you neglected to partner with me in doing what I'm doing now? Why are you neglecting and sleeping on what I've given you charge to do now? Restoration, I want to be real clear to you. There's a charge on us to go take it. Brockton Assembly, I want to be real clear to you. There's a charge on us to go take it. We live in a city that desperately needs Jesus. We live in a region that desperately needs Jesus. And it's almost as if what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today is this: how long are we going to neglect going and taking this city for Jesus? How long are we? I don't got a lot of time, but there are a couple things I want to say really quickly. The passive will not possess the promise. The passive will not possess the promise. There must be a militancy about you to take hold of the promise that God has given you. I gotta take it. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent must take it by force. Here's the question, though. Okay, Pastor Manny, I've heard many a Pentecostal sermon. Yay, the kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent go take it by force. Yay, I've heard that. Praise the Lord. How? How do I take the promise? How do I take and possess, take hold of what God has created me for? If I'm called, how do I take hold of it? How do I take it? I want to read verses 4 through 10 of Joshua 18 as it lays this template that I pray speaks to each of us today in response to this question. Pick out from among you 3 men from each tribe, and I will send them. They shall rise and go through the land, survey it according to their inheritance, and come back to me, and they shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall remain in their territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall remain in their territory on the north. You shall therefore survey the land in 7 parts, and bring the survey here to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance, and Gad and Reuben and the half tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan in the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. Then the men arose to go away, and Joshua charged those who went to survey the land, saying, go walk through the land, survey it, come back to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. So the men went, passed through the land, and wrote the survey in a book in 7 parts by the cities, and they came to Jordan at the camp in Shiloh. Then Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land to the children of Israel according to their divisions. How do I take it? How do I take it? The very first thing we see in verse 4 in this text is divine assessment. Step 1 in taking hold of the promise is divine assessment. What do we see? Joshua tells the people of Israel, pick from among you 3 men from each tribe, send them, they shall rise and go and survey the land. This assessment here in verse 4 is Joshua calls forth for a delegation from each tribe, like men did, that understand the vision here are called forth. They are then charged to go survey the land, assess what it is that we must take, and do so strategically and systematically. They go and assess the land according to its cities. They assess the land, and they're asking questions like, what are some of the natural resources? What are some of the natural boundaries? What's going to make this land sustainable? Are there adequate water supplies? And they're asking these questions as they survey the land. And this divine assessment is divine because it's an assessment that you and I have to go through as it relates to the purpose and the promise that God has placed on our hearts prayerfully. God is the one who's showing you. God is the one who is leading you and teaching you as you're surveying, doing your research, right? He's the one who's kind of guiding this assessment piece. Today, the Lord has to open our eyes to see what's the distinguishing marks of our business or our ministry approach or our approach to the problem that the Lord has given us charge to solve. While you're doing the work of assessing, you are co-laboring with Christ so that you can see the needs that you were created to address. Friends, family, I want to be clear here. For many of us, we think that, you know, we go to church and that's it. No, there's a purpose that the Lord has placed upon each and every one of us. And it's up to us to take a step back to survey the land. How do I walk in that purpose? How do I actually carry out what God has given me charge to work out and carry out? Step 1, divine assessment. If you keep reading, however, that divine assessment leads to what I call a divine plan. Step one of how do I take it is the divine assessment. Step two is the divine plan. The assessment leads to the plan. In verse 6 and verse 8, Joshua reiterates that the survey of the land must be brought back in order that he can then bring it before the Lord at Shiloh and cast lots. Casting lots was a prayerful process to determine the heart of God for specificity upon the assignment entrusted. And in this case, which tribe was to go where? In our context today, there are things that the Lord desires to make clear, but it's only as we're before him that we can get true clarity upon the steps and strategy he desires for us to follow. The assessment leads to a plan. How many of you know that you can't start a business without a plan? You can't go and take what the Lord has given you charge to take without a plan. God desires to download that plan in you. The divine assessment is followed by the divine plan. And the last step here that we see is in verse 10 is divine execution. Pretty much the remainder of the book of Joshua is an elaboration upon the plan and its execution. The seven remaining tribes weren't necessarily lazy or, you know, rebellious and obstinate. They simply needed instruction and a plan to follow. And once they get it, they can go and take it. We were birthed for such a time as this, to go and take it. But it's ultimately about, have you done your homework? Have you gotten before the Lord to do your research to get the assessment piece? Have you created a divine plan? Have you walked in execution? I want to close today by sharing a story. When I was about 9-10 years old, we had moved from Boston to Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and we went to the supermarket. My mom took us to the supermarket, all three of us at the time. There were four of us. Yeah, all four of us she took to the supermarket. But my little brother was really young. In any event, she takes us to the supermarket, and before she takes us, she says to us all, after we go to the supermarket, we're going to go to McDonald's. Amen. So we're all excited, looking forward to this trek to McDonald's, right? McDonald's is the plan. But as we're at the supermarket, I'm hungry. And so this little, y'all remember when chips were like a quarter? Y'all remember that? Those chips are a dollar now. It's terrible. But in any event. I'm at the supermarket, and I'm kind of walking kind of behind my mama. And I see the quarter bag of chips. So I take the quarter bag of chips. I look at the quarter bag of chips. I ponder upon the quarter bag of chips. I look again at the quarter bag of chips. The promise is McDonald's, but the quarter bag of chips is before me. So, while at the supermarket, I open the quarter bag of chips, y'all. I begin to eat the quarter bag of chips. And as I begin to eat the quarter bag of chips, my mama look at me. Then she takes the quarter bag of chips from me. She don't say nothing, right? But she looks at me. She takes the bag of chips. She keeps it in the front next to her. And then she holds my hand the rest of the time there. We get into the car, right? She goes, you will be having no McDonald's today. So I watched my three other siblings eat McDonald's. We go to McDonald's. She buys them their Happy Meal or whatever, right? We get home. Everyone's eating, right? Everyone got their McDonald's and sit at the table. And my mother goes, Manny, come here. I go to my mother. My mother says, you're 10 years old. You're getting 10 lashes of the strap. My friend, this, you know, this is a back in the, I'm a little bit older, so this is back in the day when corporal punishment was a thing. 10 years old. So it's 10 lashes, a strap for every year of my age, right? And rather than actually receiving the promise that was prepared for me, rather than taking hold of the gift of McDonald's that awaited me, I got half a bag of chips and 10 lashes of the strap. Why? Because rather than pursuing the promise and resolving to take what God has said and resolving to take what God has placed in me and resolving to take what I was created for, I settled for what was easy. And in doing so, not only did I not get all of that, I got punished in the process. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but it's not optional for you to take hold of what God has created you for. You were created for such a time as this to do what it is the Lord has placed in you to do. There are many here now who are saying, God, I know you called me to ministry, but that's too scary. There are many here now who are saying, God, I know you've called me to go back to school, but that's too much for me. There are many here now who are saying, God, I'll do that later. And here's what I want to say. In the process, you're foregoing and forfeiting the promise. And you're taking half a bag of chips that's going to result in you never fulfilling the destiny in, with which you were created. I want to be real here. God has made each and every one of us on purpose with purpose. Your charge is to go take hold of it, not to sit back and watch it pass you by. An entire generation is awaiting your greatness if you would only resolve in your mind to go take it. A divine assessment leads you to a divine plan that then requires execution. Are you willing to be who the Lord has created you to be today? Are you willing to make up in your mind, I'm going to stick to it until I grab hold of it? Every eye closed, every head bowed today. Father, all over the space are your children who you've called, formed and fashioned with purpose. Yet all over this place are life struggles, excuses, reasons, fears, reasons why we don't quite walk in what you've made us to walk in. I pray in this hour, Lord, that we might make up in our mind to be who you've created us to be. For such a time as this, in Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to invite you just for a moment. Praise team gets ready to come. If you're here and you heard the word of the Lord today, and you know that that word wasn't for your neighbor, that word was for you, and it's in your heart to resolve to take it, to take what the Lord's given you charge to take. If you're in this place today and that's you, I'm just going to invite you to stand to your feet. And I'm going to invite you to pray about your resolution even now. I'm going to invite you to be honest and real with the Lord. I'm going to invite you to actually say, Lord, what is my next step? Lord, guide me in my period of divine assessment. Lord, I want to do what you've made me to do. I want to grab hold of it. I want to take it. Amen. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. I want to be violent with it.
Yes.
If that's you in this place, as we spend just a moment in prayer and Pastor Steve's going to come up, I want to encourage you to begin to pray. I don't want to pray for you here. I want you to pray for you here. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. Let's pray. We're going to pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for yet another time. We thank you, dear Father God, that you love us enough to remind us, dear Father God, that you have called us, that you have placed within us from jump purpose. I pray, dear Father God, that our collective resolve today, that we are not going to stop, dear Father God, until we grab a hold of, dear Father, the reasons with which you've called us. Lord, we need you in this hour. We need you, dear Father God, to walk alongside us all along the divine assessment, peace and portion, and the divine plan, creation and portion, but most of all, the divine execution. Clear the path for us, Lord. Clear the road for us. Enable us, Lord, to deepen our yes, Lord, and to go forth as you've called us, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You go before me.